I mentioned this morning, as we looked at another passage in the book of Acts, how there are some number of stories that we read in the Bible that we, from our childhood, we've become familiar with. And we read this evening the beginning of the story of Samson. Samson is one of these stories that many have come across. Samson with his great strength and the really rather erratic course of his life through a number of chapters that we have following this one. But with all its excitement, again, I think the question needs to be asked, how close do we get to why this story is even here? What's the point of it? And very often when we come to a passage like this, and there are some valuable, might say, smaller lessons that we need to take account of, but very often the lessons are such things as, here is a young man who goes astray and does what he wants. He was set apart to God, as we read in chapter 13, does what he wants to, he disrespects his parents. There came to the place where he wasn't aware that he had lost the Spirit of God in a moment of great danger. And there was just his brazen disobedience and selfishness. And all of these things have been advanced from time to time as things to be learnt from this story. And as an example, there are a great many warnings from this account. But chapter 13 reminds us that God himself, the Lord, had a very important part. Samson didn't just spring up. And it wasn't just that there was a man who God said, well, I'm going to make use of him and give him extra strength and he can do some damage to the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. But there's something very deliberate about the way that God does this, as he has done in a number of other stories that we read in the Bible. How many times do you know of one of the women who couldn't have children, and then when it seemed like all hope was gone, that God said, no, you are the one. And there was Sarah, there was Hannah, there's Manoah's wife, and so on. God had a very important place for this explosion into Israel's history for these few chapters. And that's especially clear in verses 1 to 5 of chapter 13. It was the Lord who delivered Israel into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years, and then it was the Lord who said that he was going to give this child, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And in our excitement with the story, and its variety, its drama, we need to be careful not to lose sight of just that. There are times, I suspect, when we read this story and we think, how can we approve of this action? Yes, Samson is dealing a blow to the Philistines here and there and the next battleground and so on. But how is he somebody that we can appreciate when he does what he does, when he goes about it in such a way? Does God approve of Samson's goings on? Well, in many respects, no. The rest of Scripture makes that very clear. He does things that cannot be approved of. He was to be set apart as a Nazarite from his womb, from his mother's womb to his death. But he touched unclean things. He had no regard whatsoever for God's requirements of him. How could we approve of such a man when he goes outright contrary to God's way set for him? But yet, he was the one that God had appointed to begin to deliver Israel out of the Philistines. The Lord was working out his purpose in this man, through this man. And we need to always keep that in mind as we read his adventures. as such, we're probably inclined to think of God has given one Saviour to man, and in a sense we are right, and we'll see that further on. But yet there is a sense in which Samson and the other judges, as deliverers, they are saviors. This man, in all his behavior, was one of God's saviors of Israel. I want to tell you about this man's story, tell you about a man's failings, and in these things, talk about the Lord's purpose. A man's story, first of all. The Bible tells us the story of a man whose birth was announced to his mother by an angel, in the same way that Samson's birth was announced by an angel to his mother. The Bible tells us the story of a man who was intended from birth, before birth, to be a deliverer of God's people, just as Samson was in verse 5. The Bible tells us a story of a man who was blessed. He was in favor with God as he grew, just as Samson was in verse 24 of chapter 13. The Bible tells us the story of a man who received the Spirit of God upon him for his work, just the way Samson was or did in verse 25. The Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. The Bible tells us the story of a man who began to be a problem to his own people, just as Samson did in chapter 15, verse 11. He went about his work and it created problems. In chapter 15, verse 11, 3,000 men of Judah went down to him and said to him, "Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us?" He became a problem to them because of the way that he went about what he understood his work to be. The Bible tells us a story as well of a man who had an exceptional strength that men couldn't understand. It was a different kind of strength, but it was just as Samson had this strength. What he's most famous for, of course, through the remaining chapters. But the Bible also tells us a story of a man, finally, who dealt such a massive blow against the enemy of God's people, destroying that enemy, even as he went to his own death, as Samson did in chapter 16, verse 30. Do you know that man that the Bible tells that story? An exceptional child announced by an angel, grew in favor with God and under blessing, was blessed by the Spirit and gained a particular strength, was not understood by the people that he was sent to save, but in his death dealt a blow against the enemy. There are such striking similarities. In a remarkable way, the most unexpected of men gives us some similarities at least. They may not be precise parallels, but they're pointing us to someone. Key things that were necessary for a savior of God's people, a deliverer. We'll come to see a little more on how this applies in a moment. There is a reason for such a likeness, I believe. And this is only one man amongst many through the Old Testament. And we don't see all of the similarities. We don't see all of the character of Jesus portrayed in this one person. We may need to go to others to see other facets of Christ's character pointed to by some of the men of the Old Testament. But there are these pointers, these similarities, for a reason. And that is because it is God who is at work. It's God who sends his Savior to men. And it's God who blesses and enables the Savior to do that work for God and for his people. It's God who appoints that there is this one will be raised up for the sake of his own people. All too frequently, although for very different reasons, we know, they also become a thorn in the side of the people who have wandered away from God. And it's perhaps more notable amongst all of these deliverers, as the judges were called, more noticeable with Samson than any of the others, the victory that he gained in his death. I would ask you to recognize these, shall we call them positive indicators, first. And recognize that in Samson too, startling though it might be, with a man who was so much a law to himself, but even so, there are respects in which he is what we would call a type. He's a forerunner. He's one who is pointing us towards even Christ himself. He is a deliverer. He is a savior given by God for his people, and presents to us some of the characteristics that are to be found in that one greater still. And to remember Hebrews, how often the book talks about one role or another that Christ fulfilled, and said, look at the Old Testament, look at some of the people that you see there, look at what they did, and there's a greater still. Take a look at Samson, and even those remarkable likenesses, that he is pointing to this Jesus. But we also do recognize that there are inadequacies. And if there were not, he would be the Christ. He would be the Messiah. So there are many parallels, but there are significant differences too. And it's because of these that God's people, then and in following generations, were obliged to wait. There was still one greater still to come. A man's story first then, just in very brief. A man's failings as well, which perhaps we know better or remember better. We know these, although in the midst of them there are some just a few words that are perhaps even more important still. When you think of the detail that we have, and we think of the dramatic events of his life, if you were to act them out, you would find that they're just a very short time in many cases. But we see in two verses, just in a few words, at the end of chapter 15, verse 20, he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. When we know the story, or we think we know the story, it starts and it finishes, and we think, well, it has been an explosion, and then it's gone. Like the fireworks up in Oban a couple of years ago, which all went within the first few seconds. And it seems a little bit like that. But no, it wasn't. He judged for 20 years. And at the end of his story, again, at the end of chapter 16, in just one line, he had judged Israel 20 years. We don't often recognize that. What we do recognize are his failings very often. His rebellion against his parents, against their guidance. Remember, Manoah wanted to ask again, what is the rule that he must follow in his life? And they were the ones who would teach him this rule, and yet in his first opportunity, when he found his strength as a youth, he pitted himself against a lion. He went against their guidance, meaning that he went against all the ways that God himself required of him. He wasn't just rebelling against parents. Nobody ever does just rebel against parents. You rebel against God, who has given us our parents. And that's what Samson did. Jesus was so noticeably different. There was a time, many people might refer to, when he was lost and he hadn't followed his parents, but he had been truly absorbed, and he said he was about his father's business, his greater father's business. But he responded humbly and truly and lived with his parents. That brief record that we have of him when he was age 12. But Samson, in his rebellion against his parents, his rebellion against God himself, it was this that ultimately led to the Spirit leaving him. It went all the way. Remember how Delilah took him closer and closer to the truth of his strength, and eventually he relented and he gave it away. She could tell. His hair was taken. It was not in the hair, but it was in his respect and his honor of what God had required from him. And the Spirit left him. He was unaware of it. He couldn't imagine Jesus to be insensitive to the Spirit to that degree. But Samson was. And Samson fell short in many moral areas, moral failings. And it's often here that folk have been inclined to look to him for various lessons. But these also serve a greater purpose in God's intention. My guess is that the people of Israel, when this first started to happen, when they first heard the rumors coming out of the area of the Philistines, what had happened with the gates taken, ripped off of the city walls and so on, they would be quite excited. Here's a man. He's got superhuman strength. Look what he's doing. He's on our side. At least they were excited until he took a step too far and it came back on them. It was only at the very end, really, that he suffered himself. But we might also remember many years later when Israel had grown stronger and then had got weaker, and being exiled, and after the return in their time of great weakness, the prophet Zechariah brought God's word and said, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Here was a man who did have might, who did have power. Was he the hope of Israel? They thought he was, perhaps, for a time. But God is true. God is unchanging. It has never been by might or power. It has always been by his Spirit. This was a brief respite after 40 years of oppression by the Philistines. God gave them a deliverer, at least to begin deliverance. It was a respite, but only that. There had to be something better. There had to be someone better. It was a great and exciting period, perhaps, but there were many aspects that blurred the picture, many failings in this particular man. And so let me take you to the Lord's purpose. There are quite a number of these stories, as I'm sure you're aware, as we read through the Old Testament. It's here that we see God's particular dealings with men. The history is especially focused on Israel for many a year. It's here that God made himself known and that made his purpose known. It's here that we have to turn if we are to know as well. He served his purpose at the time. It did preserve the people for a spell. It gave them relief. It gave them freedom again for a time. But this was a recurring experience, not just Samson, but then there was another hiatus. They would be under oppression from the Philistines again, or from one of the other neighboring countries, and then they would cry out. God would give them a deliverer again. Another pointer to Christ himself. For a time, this served God's immediate purpose of providing a deliverer. We ought never to lose sight of that. This was an important part of God's gift, his saving work, demonstrating his own character of salvation for his people. God did give an answer to the cry of his people. Just as it was in Egypt, through the deliverance led by Moses and many others since. So in the immediate situation, God's purpose was fulfilled for a time in a measure. He delivered his people. But it was in a measure. It was only in part. More and better had to come, surely. And we see it through the Psalms and other passages, many of them still to be written, but some that have been written earlier before this. If we are God's people, truly God's people, will he not save us? And yet, here is a man who would, to all outward appearances, would be a very effective savior. But he falls short too. There's things missing. He was limited in his effectiveness. And the more this happened, the more Israel was to learn and to grasp. They were to be awakened in their understanding, not to put their trust in men. Now, I can say that in the past. We can look at them and say, this is what they ought to have learned. But how often is this paralleled in our own history, our personal history, personal lives, where we have for a time placed our hope in people who have might and power, people who are attractive, people who have an appeal to them, and then how often we might be disillusioned, and if not yet, how often we will be disillusioned. They fall short. They may be able to accomplish something for a time, but they fall short from the beginning to end of Scripture. Yes, even from the very beginning of Genesis and the appearance of man, even to the very end of Revelation, the message is, don't put your trust in men. There's someone better, someone who can save for good. Israel would be encouraged, should they wake up to this, encouraged to seek the Lord and his help, not just a man whom he gives, not just a temporary solution. They were not to keep acting in ways that would drive the Lord away, because that is what they had done just before this story opens up, that God delivered them to the Philistines because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And this was a repeated pattern. And not just through the time of the judges, but through all their history, through the history of mankind, keeping God at arm's length. Samson was all very well, but for all his spectacular achievements, he was unable to deliver Israel from themselves, from their sinful rebelliousness of heart, doing evil in the sight of God. No man can deliver me or you from yourself. Another man's needed. That other story I told you, where there are no failings. This is a large part of the message of the Old Testament. When we approach it in all its extensive variety and its narrative, its character, God did an important work for the time. It had its value at the time. Never lose sight of that. It was a work in its own right, you might say. But always with God's work through the Old Testament, there was something else. Always an anticipation, working towards a better, a greater, in the fullness of time. As we look on these things, not just for the fascination, not just for the wonder of a series of parallels and similarities, not just for the excitement of the story, but as we read a passage such as this, as we discover a character like this, given by God, it's to take us to him God, to rejoice and to marvel over what he has accomplished, and how he is always pointing us to say, one way or another, we saw it this morning in a different way, pointing us to say, look to the one who can complete the picture. He is eager to help. He will give what we need. Sometimes it will be chastening. He delivered them to the Philistines for 40 years. They needed that. But then he delivered them from the Philistines, saving at other times. This comes at a time, Samson was a very raw kind of character, wasn't he? Israel was really very raw as well, very early in their development. And this was one step to working towards the more complete salvation that was to come. A salvation not just on the outside, not just to paint the tombs nice and white to look good, not just to clean the outside of the cup that Jesus talked about, not just to clean the outside of our lives, but to clean deep within. This other man, Samson, was a deliverer, a mighty man of God. But there's a greater deliverer because there's a greater enemy. And he has accomplished that victory. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, and it was a full victory. Not just a great one, but a complete victory. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We are called once more as we read these words to ensure that we don't put our trust in men, except one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to him be the praise. May he bless his word to us this evening. Let us pray together.